Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up their voices, and the skies pound their drums.
I wanted to take a minute to just simply introduce this podcast. We pick up the recording from this past Sunday morning, a couple of minutes into the conversation. I had asked my friend Chris Haggerty to join me, and so he and I together, we talk about the third of our five-part series, Putting God First, or Doing Life God's Way, as it were. And in this third topic, we're talking about relationships. So this is the second week into that conversation about relationships. And so I hope you enjoy putting God first in your relationships as Chris and I talk about belonging, vulnerability, just connecting with people at a heart level, praying for God to give us that friend that's closer than a brother, perhaps the soul friend. You'll hear more about that now as we pick up the podcast. There's plenty of folks. I've been there myself. And when I left that meeting or that group or whatever activity it was, I felt lonely. And then there's others who they feel like they belong, that they're connected deeply. And so I was intrigued by what's the difference. Whether a person is surrounded by a bunch of people or not, they still have that sense of belonging. And there's a couple of researchers out there that are doing some great work and some good writings. I don't know why Brené Brown has been a voice that has been speaking into this for me. Whether you like her or not, whether you know about her or not, I think that she carries some wisdom. And she also does a lot of research, and one of the things that she's researching is this idea of belonging. And so the research that she's doing finds this paradox. And a paradox, you know, it's like two things that are together, but they don't seem like they should fit together. So this paradox is that people who feel the most connected have the deepest sense of belonging. The paradox is that those people tend to be settled in their ability to be alone and to stand alone. They have a confidence in themselves personally. The juxtaposition of that is there's a paradox with people who can surround themselves with a bunch of others, but when they're in a group, they're not being themselves. They're actually, there's this subtle, even unconscious desire to belong so much that they would morph and change and, in a sense, perform to appeal to the people around them. Those are the people that tend to feel the most lonely. So the paradox is the people who feel most connected and like they belong are the people that could stand alone if they wanted to. But they choose to engage others. And then the opposite is true, and the people that desire and crave longing and connection, they tend to, you know, like I was just reiterating here, I'm just saying that, you know, they tend to morph and be a chameleon for the sake of the people that they're around, and they're not being true to themselves. So I find that interesting. And so a couple of things connected to belonging. One is authenticity. Just being settled in your identity and not relying on the people around you to give you that sense of identity. Let your identity be formed in your relationship with God. And once that is settled, then belonging begins to flow and begins to, you know, happen more readily for you. Okay, so there's that. The other thing, and this is what we just witnessed. What we just witnessed is one of the keys to belonging is a willingness to be vulnerable. Now, obviously, if you're afraid that people are going to reject you and therefore you perform, you're not going to be vulnerable. You're only going to be showing that elaborate fig leaf. And so it just makes sense then that the people who feel settled in themselves and, you know, they tend to be a little more vulnerable, a little more transparent, I guess. We've just witnessed some transparency here.
And that's what I want to point to. So a lot of what I was going to talk about just got modeled. So that's great. I wanted to have Chris come up, and we're going to bounce some things off of each other. So we're in the series called Doing Life God's Way, or Putting God First in These Five Categories of Life. The first one was our spiritual life. The second one was our finances. The third one that we're on now is our relationships. And we're in part two of that. And I thought, well, how fitting for us to talk about relationships in relationship with each other. What? The layers go deep. All right. So I felt inspired by that. And so I wanted to talk with Chris a little bit about some things. So Chris, since we just talked about transparency, do you have any thoughts about that? Can you give us some thoughts about transparency, vulnerability in that?
Yeah, I love the idea. A lot of times, you know, what the Rays just did, what Jill and Samantha just did, we model safety and vulnerability by just walking in, you know, by just opening up our hearts. I've had the privilege of overseeing men's groups for about 30 years now, and I've gone through a lot of phases of that. I've come to change the way I do those things, and I've had the privilege of being very close to a lot of men over a lot of years. And you know, a lot of times when I am transparent, or when I model vulnerability, right, I throw something out there that maybe most folks would go, I would never say that. You just look really weak, Chris. But now I feel safe to share my weakness, right, my struggle. I'm thinking about a friend of mine a few years ago in Charlottesville. It was a Friday morning men's group, still meeting, and we met for about 10 years. And I had the sense that my young friend, who I know is married, he's got a couple small kids, I know he's under it, right? He's knee-deep and all sorts of stuff. And I had the sense that he was burdened. And so I said something about an argument with Steph. I said, man, I had a whopper last night. You know, Steph and I just went at it. And I was quick to say that that is us fighting for common ground, not fighting against each other. We're trying to find common ground. That's ugly sometimes. And he just went, oh, man, I fight with my wife a lot. I didn't know that everybody did that. I said, look around, man. All 10 of us, you know, and all the older guys, yeah, we're like, awesome. But it just, you know, again, just made it, I was vulnerable, I felt it, I made myself vulnerable, I made it safe for him to be vulnerable, and the transparency, the being genuine, that was healing for him, right? And he didn't feel like a weirdo, he didn't feel like he was failing in his marriage anymore. So that's the power of that, it really is.
So there's an article that I read this week, it's called The Loss of Masculine Intimacy. And I want to talk about healthy relationships between same gender. You know, it's like this is something that culturally is really missing in our society. And so I want to read just a paragraph here. We need to look no further than the rates of suicide, violence, addiction, sexual deviation, and escapism rampant in our society to see evidence of this, that men are suffering. In spite of our, quote, privileged status, men are struggling to find and maintain meaningful, authentic, and sustained connections. How is it possible that in a society that, by all accounts, is more connected than ever, the answer is not difficult to find? Again, referencing some work with Brené Brown in her book, Daring Greatly, she described an interaction that she had with a man regarding shame. And she quotes him, she said, he said, my wife and daughters, they'd rather see me die on top of my white horse than watch me fall off of it. You say you want me to be vulnerable and real, but come on, you can't stand it. It makes you sick to see me like that. And the truth is simple, that vulnerable and authentic parts of us are not always welcomed in our culture. And so part of what we want to do, just in talking about relationships, is we want to just say that actually talking in very real and honest ways with authenticity is normal. It can be normal. When I say normal, I'm not saying that it is practiced widely. I'm just saying when we look at Jesus's relationships with people, it was that. He was willing to go into their humanity and their world and their stuff. In fact, he was widely criticized by the religious leaders of his day, and he was referred to as a friend of sinners. Friend. This idea of friendship, I think, is critical. And we hear Jesus himself even saying, look, I'm not calling you servants anymore. I'm calling you friends. And he goes on to say, because a servant doesn't know the will or the heart or the mind, doesn't understand what's going on inside the master, which then implies that in order for us to be friends, we're going to know what's going on at the heart level. And this type of friendship is something that I think is what we're aspiring to cultivate as a fellowship. What I'm thinking in terms of if we're going to put God first in our relationships, then we have to look at the relationships that God has. How God related to us as humans in Jesus Christ. And he connected with us in our most like human place. And he became the safe place. He became for us what we now know as a soul friend, an anam cara. So happy St. Patrick's Day yesterday. Love the Irish, love their music. And I love some of their spiritual perspectives on things. And one of the words of soul friend that is taken from the Gaelic is a word called anam cara. And Jesus Christ, I will tell you this, is my anam cara. And Jesus Christ has given me an anam cara. And that is this man right here. And so that doesn't diminish any friendships I have outside of this one. In fact, what it does is my friendship with Chris and the way that we relate to one another actually gives me more margin to relate more deeply with other people. Does that make sense? Because if I didn't have someone that I could trust and share anything with and know that it's going to be held in confidence, if I didn't have people like that in my life, and he's not the only one that I share my heart with, then I would feel clamped down and more isolated. So the fact that I have an anam cara opens my capacity to give of myself more freely without fear, without the walls, without all of those sorts of posturings and positioning for my place. And I just want to talk just for a brief moment about the poverty mentality in relationships. When we think about poverty mentality with money, there's this constant sense of lack. There's a hoarding that can happen. There's this fear that we're going to, you know, lose everything. And so we know from scripture, as we were talking about putting God first in our money, that generosity is actually a key that opens us into open space with money. Like the Lord starts to bless us. We start to receive. We start to, you know, let generosity swell up within us. And it gives us the capacity not only to receive the generosity of God, but also give generously. So you see how the opposite spirit of the poverty mentality is used to like break us out of that. So generosity breaks us out of that sense of lack. That can also happen in relationships. And you'll hear yourself saying words like, I don't know if I have margin for that person or that group or that friendship, or I don't know, I'm just, or worse, they're too busy for me. So the implied sense that they don't have margin for you. So there's this mentality then of lack, like there's a lack of capacity to relate deeply. The opposite spirit of that is giving of yourselves, giving of your heart. And it opens up, just like when we talk about the generosity of God being opened up for us in response to our, you know, giving, there's blessings that pour out. Guess what happens in our relational capacities when we give of ourselves to others? They open up. We have more capacity to love more deeply. And so I wanted to mention that because I think important. So, Chris, why don't you talk to us a little bit about Anamkara?
Yeah, so Anamkara is it's an idea that I was introduced to, I don't know, 15 years ago. First through a great book, a history book called How the Irish Saved Civilization, a great name, by Thomas Cahill. And it's a wonderful kind of insight into the whole very interesting, strange, different approach of the Irish, especially towards their Christianity. So prior to the Christianization of the Irish, they had a proverb that said, a man without an Anamkara is like a body without a head. They believe you couldn't live without a soul friend. This is a non-professional, same-gender friendship. And they brought that wholeheartedly into their walk with Christ. And I love this idea. So they believed that, and I believe, that God actually has in his storehouse a gift of an Anamkara friendship. That there is a friend that God has intended for each of us to have, to walk life together. Right? This is, to me, the deepest spiritual community we can experience. Some of us have had the privilege of having deep friendship with another person of the same gender. And someone like my friendship with Chris, where there's nothing I can't talk about. And let me tell you, that took risk. There are times when I had to say, I'm struggling. I'm really depressed, or I'm really, I feel diminished right now. I feel taken out. I feel, weak. And he doesn't go, well, are you studying more? how's that sweet hour of prayer? He's like, oh, well, I love you. You're my friend, And by the way, I'm here spending time with you because I really enjoy it. Just simple things to remind me that I'm okay and I'm acceptable and I belong, right? And so the Irish cultivated this so deeply. It was like, remember there's a story, I think it was Hilda, who was a bishop. So the Irish were unique in the fact that there was no real gender gap in their Christian leadership. And Hilda saw a young novice kind of wolfing his food. And she stopped and she looked at him and she said, young man, where is your Anamkara? And he looked up and he said, well, he just died. She said, don't take another bite until you find your Anamkara. It was this unbelievable trust that God has an other. And so I've encouraged people over the years and even recently to just ask the Lord, who's my Anamkara? Odds are you probably already know this person, someone that you've walked life with, but you become more intentional. And you talk about, and Chris alluded to this, like nothing that we say to each other in confidence will ever be repeated. For the Irish, that was the ultimate sin. You would never repeat something that was, confessed or explored in this close relationship. And that's an important boundary, right? To be able to talk about things. Many of us, men and women included, we're in this society, we are expected to be very independent and figure everything out on our own and, be perfect and all these things. We have a men's group on Monday morning. The basis of that men's group is Anamkara. Modern Americans don't have a lot of opportunity to go deep in friendship. So we just create a safe space. It's not directed. It's not a Bible study per se. It's not it's a conversation. We just kind of show up and there's no one in charge. It's a round table. And Jesus is invited right in the center of all that. And we just talk about what's on our hearts. There's no, and it's amazing. I mean, these men, we go deep very quickly. And the idea is that in that gathering, we would discover our own car. That's the whole point of it, That we would feel safe and intimately get to know other people and their struggles and their glory and all those things, and know that we can call somebody and say, "Hey, I want to grab coffee or something and go deeper in our friendship." So that's my understanding of Anamkara, that it is, again, a same-gender, non-professional friendship. And the idea, soul friends, that we are tending each other's soul. There are times when I feel my friend is having a hard time. He doesn't have to say a word. You know, I'm praying for him, and I'm pulling him aside and say, what do you want to talk about? How you doing? And he may want to talk about something, he may not. It's fine. And I do the same thing. He'll be like, all right, man, you're on my radar. What's going on? It's amazing. Incredible gift.
Yeah, so to broaden that from just guys having friendships like this, I think I want to just commend again and just honor the fact that the Rays have asked us as a fellowship to hold a space with them. And there's this concept then that in an authentic, healthy Christian community, there can be times when the strong faith of another can carry you. That there's a capacity, and we see it all throughout Scripture, where Moses, in his weakness, his arms were being lifted up by others. There's a sense then that when you're at the end of your rope, you're at the end of it, and you just ask for some help. I think that's beautiful, and I think that's the gift of us being together in community. So the idea then, let me just touch on this as we kind of wrap it up. Let's touch on the idea that belonging cannot be programmed into a community. What we can do as a community of faith, what we can do as a church, is we can be intentional about providing opportunities for connections. But if we relate back to what I began our talk with, sometimes, especially if you've grown up in any sort of religious context that has a performance-oriented acceptance in it, then what you can subtly do is fall back into this performing for others for the sake of being in. So acting as you perceive others want you to be, and how that would actually foster loneliness, right? Then we realize that the hope of a programmed relational network within a church can actually be counterproductive to a safe, confident, and transparent sense of belonging. It doesn't have to be separate, but I would just simply say that one of the things that we as leaders are endeavoring to foster here in this fellowship, in this community, is a way for us to encourage belonging without you feeling like you have to sign up for the program. Like, if you don't sign up for the program, then you must be out. No? So let me just talk about the last year and a half. One of the things that the Haggerty family and the Austin family has been doing is we've been meeting together every Tuesday night for dinner. For the last year and a half since they moved back, every Tuesday night. If we're in town or they're in town, let me just describe how we've found it works for us. We alternate homes, so we ping pong back and forth. So when it's our turn to host the Haggertys coming over, we provide everything. All they have to do is drag their sorry butts into the house. And it may be just that kind of day. And when it's our turn to go to their house, all we got to do is just show up. There's something really powerful about just the permission just to show up. And then just let the night emerge into what it's going to be, which is usually a great meal, some good conversation. Sometimes it ends early. Sometimes we, looking at the clock, oh my gosh, how's it 9:30 already, you know? But it doesn't have to be a long drawn out. It's just a touch point. It's like the Haggerty clan and the Austin clan, we have our separate orbits, and all throughout the week, we have touch points with so many other beautiful people, so many other amazing relationships that we honor and we love and we're absolutely committed to. And then Tuesday, boom, that's a sure thing. So we've got these rhythms that we've created. So I want to just offer that, because one of the things that you might want to ask yourself is, God, who is this deep friend that you want to reveal to me? And by the way, let me just say this, that when you ask that question, it's okay to have preferences, you know, but don't be surprised if the Lord starts to nudge you towards someone that you wouldn't necessarily think at first would be like your deep friend. Like, I've watched this happen over time, where sometimes the deepest friendships are formed with people that have completely different backgrounds and outlooks on life sometimes, and it's just a really cool way that God does that. But the next question would be, is there someone that you could have a meal with? There's something really beautiful about just sharing your table, about breaking bread. I think that's honestly one of the more pure ways of having communion, breaking bread together. And so we'll kind of leave you with that, because we wanted to just simply tag team with each other for the sake of raising our imaginations, that it could be normal for us to have deep, meaningful relationships. We don't have to be drawn into the norms of the culture, that we can be counterculture in this way as a community of faith, and that we can trust that the Holy Spirit is between us. And the Holy Spirit of Christ is what brings us into unity. And we simply get to foster that, preserve that, nurture that, say yes to it. And so there's this, it's just like anything in our faith, right? We have this trust, God, you're going to provide. And yet we have to do our due diligence to take initiative when we're nudged, right? So do that when it comes to your friendships.
Yeah, I have a couple things. One is, I had a great conversation with a friend recently, about a month ago, and she was expressing loneliness and this desire for friendship, and we talked about the Alan Carr relationship. It was a day or two later, I had an email or something just saying, it's this friend, you know, who lives in another state. And clearly, this is my own car. And so we've intentionally set up a time once a week where we're going to FaceTime and talk. So it's not necessarily going to be, you know, in this region. And another real practical thing about friendship, even the Anamkara friendship, is I like to look at it like an orbit. You know, there's times when our planet is pretty close to the sun, you know, and there's other times when we're pretty far out there and it's a winter, and that's kind of the rhythm of friendship. We're not always shoulder to shoulder. But the trust in that friendship, the trust in the gift of that friendship, the trust in that we hold each other, that we carry each other, carry belief on behalf of each other, all those things, doesn't diminish unless I get insecure or I start thinking, wow, I guess, you know, all the negative stuff. It's like, you know what? This is a friendship that is God ordained, and there are times when we get to, you know, pal around and do a lot of nothing. And then there's other times when we don't see much of each other. And that's all part of the deal. You know, you guys have experience with that, but I just want to express it. So.
And then one final note, when you were talking about us sharing kind of our deep stuff with each other, I want you to hear this. When I said that Jesus is my Anamkara, he is, which means that when Chris shares, or when I share with Chris and we part ways, you know, if I can remember this, then it will help sustain our friendship. And this is what I have to remember. All of the burdens that I've just carried for Chris, I now take to Jesus. And I say, Jesus, as our soul friend, as our friend, I want to release Chris and the things that he's just talked to me about into your love, into your care, so that I'm, again, we're talking about healthy relationships, right? So this is the thing that sustains our relationship, is knowing that Christ literally is between us. And that everything that I want Chris to experience from my life is filtered through the power of the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. And everything that I want to receive from Chris is filtered through Christ to me, which means that there's going to be days where I'm off and he's just going to have to be like, I don't have to take that, you know, or whatever. And we can have these conversations where we're realizing that in our humanity, we make the mistakes. And this is where coming back around and being like, how's your heart, man? I'm sorry if I hurt you, or whatever it is. So those are really great ways to sustain our relationship. Anyway, I'll stop with that. So thanks, Chris, for stepping up.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless. Thank you.